We're at the John Held Brown Bear Restaurant on North Clark Street, where we've taken our Those Were the Days microphones today to talk to Frank Kreis, the comedy star of the Oktoberfest program, the 8th annual Oktoberfest program at the Brown Bear Restaurant. Frank, you've been in show business for many years, and you have a few things that you might like to reminisce about for us, for our Those Were the Days audience on WNMP in Evanston. Welcome.
All right, glad to be here, Chuck, and we sure are doing big business here at the Oktoberfest of Brown Bear.
Well, we just had a very nice dinner over here, and it's kind of like wall-to-wall people out here. Everybody is jammed in, enjoying themselves, and having a wonderful time with the good Oktoberfest.
Mm-hmm.
Frank, you've been here at the Brown Bear for about how long?
I think nine years. 9 years.
Nine years, right. Mm-hmm. And before that?
I was at the Heidelberg for five.
At the Heidelberg, years. Uh-huh. Now, I understand that my spies tell me that you worked in radio way back in the 1920s. Is that true?
Yes, I did. First place I ever worked on the radio was Galesburg, Illinois. I forget the call letters now, but had one of those crystal mics, you know, that were hung on a couple of four springs, you know. It was very sensitive. And I remember a couple of the songs I used to do. Cottage Small by Waterfall, that was one of them. And then I used to do, of course, Ain't She Sweet, and Yes Sir, That's My Baby.
Now, and, did you... you were working as a singer for a radio station in Galesburg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
I used to get $1 a song.
$1 a song?
That's right.
And you used to sing as often as you could and as much as you could,
Well, usually about five songs you would sing, and that would be
What kind of programming did they have in Galesburg, Illinois in the 1920s now? We'd like to know.
Sometimes they had an orchestra, maybe violin, cello, and piano. And sometimes they just had a piano player, accompanist. And then that's about all they had then, as far as I can recall.
Were you on every night of the week or
no,
regularly?
No, about once a week.
Uh-huh. And was it on a regularly scheduled program in those days?
Well, it was. I was on, I guess, maybe about for 2 months or something like that. Uh-huh. And I wanted more money. I wanted $2 a song, and I got fired.
They wouldn't stand still for $2 a song, right?
They had plenty of wanting to get on radio anyway, you know.
Well, radio was just beginning in those
days. That's right.
And everyone was anxious to test the new medium and see what was happening. Well, big-time radio was in Chicago and New York and the big cities in those days. But Galesburg, Illinois is interesting to us because we're interested in what kind of facilities they may have had down there. What was a studio like in Galesburg, Illinois in the
20s? Well, it was more or less similar to the way they have it now. They had a glass partition there and people could watch. And it's more or less just about the way they have them now.
Did they bring in
curtains all the way around. Uh-huh. Of course, now they use that soundproof board or something. Whatever.
Did they have an audience when you were performing there?
Well, outside the studio.
Outside the studio?
Yes, they'd have some there.
And they wouldn't let the audience in the studio. So when you sang and thousands of people were applauding your work at the time, this radio audience never knew that was happening, right? Did you do some work in Peoria, South Carolina?
Yes, I did in Peoria, too. I was just on the sustaining, and I was looking for work down there. It was during the Depression, and things weren't too good. So I was on. I thought maybe I could find something. I worked some of the clubs down there, nightclubs. And I think it was Edgar Bill was one of them. I know Jack Brickhouse was down there about that time, but I don't know if he was there at the time I was or not.
Well, yes, he was from Peoria, sure.
Yeah, I know.
Didn't Fibber McGee used to talk about Peoria all the time?
Fibber McGee and Molly, they were from Peoria.
They came from Peoria, too. And they went to the big time like Frank Kreis did, too.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Big time, the Brown Bear Restaurant, the Oktoberfest. That's right. Well, we're very lucky to have your wife with us here at our Those Were the Days microphones. Eileen, come on in. Say hello.
Hello.
Very tremendous.
Glad to be here, Chuck.
Didn't even have a script for that, did you?
No. It's been a long time since I broadcasted over radio.
Well, you did do some radio work.
Quite a lot.
A number of years ago.
A few years ago.
Tell us about it.
A few years ago.
What did you do?
Well, briefly, I began first with ballet
uh-huh.
and classical piano. then musical comedy, and I got the bug. See, then later I studied producing and directing, and I traveled 2 years with Universal Producing Company. Producing a dramatic, gigantic show.
For radio?
When I came back, no, this was live, and then a theater, stage. And then when I came into Chicago, I met Frank. Well, our first conversation was very interesting. He'd just come in from the West Coast, and he'd been working theaters. And he did, I'm going to tell you, he swung a mean rope. He'd been doing a singing cowboy number. A trio white cowboy
in
outfit.
In vaudeville, then, right?
Yeah, in vaudeville. And he had worked with Harrison Shore, who at that time was a famous dance team, right before, let's see, who was the other dance team that followed? Can't think of their name. Then I came to Chicago about 1931, and 32, I was doing drama at Englewood Night School, and 33, I was broadcasting radio. And that was fun.
Well, what were you doing?
I worked with Gail Bandel on Michigan Avenue, and we used to broadcast live right in the window. People would walk by on Michigan Avenue and look at us and go, what on earth are they doing? You know, I guess we look like a bunch of monkeys in there because we were going through these gyrations and talking over the mic, but they couldn't hear anything we said, see.
They didn't pipe it out to the street.
No. They used to watch us, so it was quite an attraction. Then I worked at 721 North Michigan with Loving Gordoni, and that's when we really did quite a lot of radio work over WEDC, Emil Denmark, and GES and JJD. I remember I was Jane in one of the scripts on JJD, and Lillian had three handsome sons. The youngest was a Jack Armstrong of the air. Don Gordoni was one of the
That's
Jack
right.
Armstrong.
That's right. I think he was the first.
He was the star in Chicago at that time, 1933, the year of the World's Fair. And they at that time, the Black Hawk had singers. Uh-huh. And he was billed. His picture was in front at the Black Hawk here, and he was the lead singer, the star. So we used to do a lot of radio shows. I did quite a lot of dialect in those days.
Can you do a little dialect for us
I'm
now?
I'm afraid I'm a little rusty. If you ask me again, I'll go right home and brush up.
Well, come on. Now brush up right this and second then, and give us a dialect.
Well, I might say that when I was in high school, I won a gold medal and a couple of red ribbons for my humoresque and my Madame Butterfly, but I wouldn't attempt that tonight.
Did you do a little in something in the Jack Armstrong program?
Yeah.
Can you remember exactly what you
no,
may have
I
done?
No, I can't. We used to just go in and take a script, and then Lillian was a marvelous director, though. She really put us through the mill, you know.
Well, you folks
I tell you, the hardest thing in radio, and you feel so foolish when you're learning in a studio, is to learn how to laugh naturally.
As part of the
cry.
Script.
And cry. Yes.
Well, let's take a lesson in that now. Let's see. Now, how would you, if we had a...
Don't ask.
Come on now. We're gonna put you
well,
to
I'm
the test.
Well, I'm laughing now, but don't ask me to cry.
We're going to figure that Leo Hell
every
here
time I see
from
Leo,
the Brown
my
Bear
husband,
Restaurant.
I want to cry just my got, eyes out.
No, Leo Hell just got hit in the face with a custard pie. Now, how would you laugh if Leo Hell got hit with a custard pie?
That's terrific.
Now, how would you laugh if your husband? How would you laugh if your husband got hit with a custard pie?
Oh, I'd love it even louder. I'd laugh even louder.
Frank, what would you do? How would you laugh if your wife got hit?
Oh, mercy.
See, you never did the shadow, did you?
No. The shadow, no.
He does that alone.
Well, you folks
it was really a lot of fun. And then in Miami, I had the pleasure of cutting a transcription down there. They had the big Bayfront home shows. This was in 1949. Telling my age on this show, you know that, don't
you? Well, you started out when you were 2 years old, right?
Yes, I started out when I was 6 months old.
And anyway, every 18 months counts, I guess, right?
That's right. And that was a lot of fun. It was a transcription for Lustro Tile. I was a wife, you know, plugging the tile.
Lustro Tile.
Lustro Tile. They had just tiled my bathroom.
Sure, yeah. Oh, it was a trade deal, right? And they tiled
deal.
Your bathroom and you had
Yeah.
Well, Frank, tell us a little bit about your early days in show business. You were involved in burlesque, I think, weren't you?
Yes, I worked a couple of years in burlesque. I did second comic, and I used to do the singing for the, you know, when the girls parade around the stage and stuff like that. And actually, before that, the first professional date I ever had was at the Orpheum Theater in Galesburg when Rudolph Valentino passed away. Every theater in the country featured the number. I don't know who it was written by. I don't remember anymore. It was called "There's a New Star in Heaven Tonight." Every theater in the whole United States played that number, either or somebody sang it. And that's my first professional job for 3 days and three nights at the Orpheum Theater, singing that from the box while the organist had for accompaniment.
Yeah, I guess that I remember that. I wasn't there, but I remember reading.
1926, yeah.
Oh, Chuck, you're too young.
That's right. I was born in 1949.
May I cut in a minute?
Sure.
Frank did worked with Barbara Ann Sharma, who is now one of the stars of the Laugh-In. So try to catch her on Laugh-In because she's adorable, and she was only 14 when he worked with her in Miami. Just a beautiful girl. She was a star of Havana, Cuba at that time, too. Billed as a little Carmen Miranda, and she had her hair done up high and the little long evening dress, you know, and then she'd take the skirt off and have her little shorts and a couple of little guns. And she was just perfectly adorable, but she's quite a star. She's had a ballet background.
I'm going to have to watch Laughing.
Dancing and singing. Yes, and she did some Richard Arlen shows, and she's been working in New York. She came here at the Blackstone, I forget the year, it was in the 50s, was a star of The Boyfriend, comedian.
Oh, yes.
She's perfectly adorable. Now she's on Laugh-In.
Well, that's great.
Well, I was on South Bend, Indiana for a while. WSBT, I believe it was.
Uh-huh.
They just opened a new station. I was just on sustaining. I was on about, I don't know, about 6 weeks, something like
singing.
That.
Singing.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But he was billed as the American tenor. It's, you know, it sounded nice.
You weren't the silver mask tenor.
No.
The American tenor.
You didn't want
to the unmasked.
Well, after that, Chuck, I got into the record business.
That accompanist was there for many years. Maybe he's still there. Harlan Hogan. In South Bend, Indiana. I know he's been there many years.
Well,
he may still be there,
and he may very well be listening to this. Harlan Hogan, if you're listening, give us a call. We'll take you out to the Brown Bear Restaurant to have dinner with Frank Craze. Frank, you also were involved in the carnival work, I think.
Yeah, I worked. I worked in the carnival. I went. Let's see. I think we opened in Cairo, Illinois, and all it did was rain, and it rained so hard. In fact, they had the army engineers down there bagging up the dikes because you know Cairo is lower than the Mississippi.
I didn't know that. Now I know.
And then we move on to Carbondale. It's still rain. I was with a hillbilly show, and he had a dulcimer player, and I was barking outside and singing, playing a guitar and singing cowboy songs there. So I got kind of hungry, Chuck, so I came back to Chicago.
And you found work in Chicago. When was this? What year was this?
That was 1934, I believe. Yeah, 34.
What was happening in the radio scene in Chicago in 34?
There wasn't too much. There was a lot of work, but, I mean, there wasn't any money involved.
That's right.
I had a chance to go to agent wanted to book me up to Milwaukee. They had a big barn dance program up there. But just when I was ready to go up and audition, go up there for that show, I was in this act with these other two people. And we went on this vaudeville tour.
Mm-hmm.
So that knocked that in the head, and I never did follow that.
Well, where did you go in vaudeville then? Tell me that.
Oh, it was all over Detroit and Hamilton, Ontario, and back to Chicago and
Vancouver.
Denver and Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Vancouver, San Francisco, and Los Angeles.
Did you ever play the Chicago Theater or the Oriental?
I know they had
vaudeville shows.
Well, I tell you, Chuck, all those were mostly booked out of New York.
Chuck, I might mention that my uncle was producer of the shows at the Chicago and the Chicago.
Really?
Fred Evans. He brought in the original Adorables from Long Island, New York. He was dance director. And Frank could have gotten on. And then Ricky, that was a pet family name for him, went back to New York, I believe, about 42, wasn't it, Frank? And we went down to Miami in 44.
Well, he was at Schaefer-y.
He was at the Schaefer for quite a good many years.
7-8 years, wasn't he?
That's right. They had wonderful shows, though. The Chicago Theater and then the Schaefer-y.
Oh, yeah.
New costumes every two weeks. I don't know how they did it, but it was
perfectly
beautiful.
That was great.
Really.
Those were good days in
Chicago.
Great
artists. Oh, yes.
Well, Frank, you've had a very interesting career in show business, singing your way into our hearts, as they say.
One thing I might mention, he staged the big show at the Yokohama Naval Air Base and has a citation from Commander Browder of the United States Navy for that. Uh-huh. They raised $500,000 in war bonds. So we're rather proud of that little
thing. Why, sure. That's
it. That was during the war.
That plaque hangs in an honored spot in your home, I guess. Right? You folks are from the Chicago area, aren't you?
Yes, we are.
Illinois.
You come from Southern Illinois. I do come from Southwest. Originally, Galesburg.
We were very happy to have had this chance to chat with you today, and I understand there's some good news that the Oktoberfest at the Brown Bear Restaurant has been held over by popular demand for few extra days. Is that correct?
That's right.
So you'll be continuing.
So many reservations, Chuck, that they're holding it over for an additional week. That is a weekend.
That's great. In other words, you had expected to wrap it up this October on the 11th of October, and you're going to continue on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Right, right.
So if there's anyone who would like to have a good old-fashioned evening at a good old-fashioned Oktoberfest, we might send them out to the Brown Bear Restaurant on North Clark Street. Right?
Right.
And thank you very much for chatting with us today on Those Were the Days.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here talking with you, Chuck, and I hope we get to meet again sometime.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chuck. It certainly was.
Thank you.